Morning. Go ahead and start. If you would, please, just read the scripture first. 2 Samuel chapter 9. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and all to his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, where he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Let's ask the Lord to bless his word this morning. Our great God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for bringing us here this morning to hear from thee. We pray, Lord, that you would speak, that you would use your men mightily, that you would use your word, Lord, to call out your sheep, Lord. Pray that thy word goeth forth, Lord. That we're just servants, Lord, and Lord, just use us, Lord, to glorify thy son. Help us to glorify him, Lord. And call out your sheep. Lord, we give you all thanks and all glory, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the rain, for sustaining us, Lord. Pray, Lord, for those that can't be here, Lord, for whatever the reason, pray that you would be with them in a special way. Give them the means to hear your word. We thank you for the means, Lord. We pray for our pastor, Lord. You return him home safely. Give him good message down there, good fellowship with the brethren there in North Carolina. And we pray that you return them home safely. Pray, Lord, now that you would open your word unto us, Lord. Give us something to hear, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. This is a very familiar story here. It's one of my favorites, so I kind of just use my liberty, I guess, to say, to pick something I really wanted to deal with. I always like this story. It's probably not a more clear, there's a lot of clear stories in here, but of God coming down to save helpless sinners. You know, it's like I said, I've probably heard this several times, and it's nothing wrong with hearing something over and over again. And I got our friend Gabe, he has a saying, I don't know if it's his saying, but instead of old and fresh, instead of new and stale, the world's out there trying to get gimmicks and stuff to bring people in. We're just looking at something we've seen maybe several times and just hoping to get something more out of it and be refreshed again, make it fresh to us. So it's old, but it's fresh to us. I don't know where to get started. Verse 1, David says, "Is there any of the house left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now David is God's king. The people have chosen a king for themselves, and they have chosen, as people do, wrongly, Saul. Saul had a son. And let's look at 1 Samuel 18 real quick. Just do a little bit of, just go back for a minute and look at 1 Samuel 18 and talking about this covenant that he made. And verses 1 through, start with verse 1. And this is after David had slain Goliath. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. He loved him just like he was him, like he was a part of his own self. And 1 Samuel 20, a couple pages over, speaks of this covenant again. Start with verse 11. "And Jonathan said unto David, Come and let us go out into the field. And they went out both of them into the field. And Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow, any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then send not unto thee and show it thee, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only while yet I live show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, Let the Lord even require at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul." So this represents, David represents the father, the king. He's the king, and he represents the father. And what the king says, the king, we don't live in those days anymore, but when the king says something, that the decree went out and people followed it. Like I said, he represents the father. And look at Psalm 115 with me. I'm trying not to get you to turn to too many, but there's so many I had wrote down, so I'll turn to a few here. Psalm 115. Verse 1, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, Where is now their God? But our God is in the heaven. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." That's our God. That's the king. And David represents him in the story. He is sovereign in providence. Our king, our Lord, is sovereign in providence. Isaiah 45 says, Isaiah 45, 5 says, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. silence. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. God is the first cause of all things. He decreed. This in the back in the text where it says, verse 3, and the king said, is there any yet of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? So when he asked, and he set forth the decree, he wanted to show kindness unto someone of the house of Saul. And he purposed this, show kindness is mercy. He wanted to show mercy unto someone of the house of Saul for Jonathan's sake, for Christ's sake. Everything we do is for Christ's sake. So in our Lord, he is sovereign. Like I said, he's a sovereign in all things. So when the king speaks, he makes the decree, it goes out. Nothing's going to stop our Lord. But that I may show thee kindness, mercy. Like I said, kindness is mercy. David was a man of mercy. The house of Saul were David's enemies. So Mephibosheth was actually David's enemy. Mephibosheth represents us. We are lame like he is, lame on our feet. We can do nothing unless the Lord brings us up. And he comes and finds us. But he was enemies. He didn't serve any mercy. Back in those days, when a new king took over, usually the whole house was eradicated. They came and slew all the men of the house and all the other kings, and anybody of Saul's family would have been wiped out. So let's go ahead and look on down through here. Back in verse 3. And the king said, is there not any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel and Lodabar. Now Lodabar is the name of Lodabar is house of no bread, or place of no pasture. Well, that's he wasn't looking for David. He was probably hiding from David, but if he knew the customs of the day, that they were going to come after him. But he wasn't looking for David. And that's the way the Lord finds us. We're not looking for him. We're enemies of God. We're going about just doing our own thing, and he comes and finds us. And we're lame, and lame means inadequate, weak, inadequate. We're lame on our feet. We can't do anything without him. Can't do anything without him. But how did it become lame? How did Mephibosheth become lame physically here? Let's look at that. That's at 2 Samuel 4, just a few pages back, 2 Samuel 4. Verse 4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. So it was actually by a fall of another person. And isn't that, we're in our state because of the fall of Adam. Adam fell, and we are his sons. But he fell. And the scripture says, Psalm 33 says, that, like I said, that she tried to help him, but she stumbled and fell. But, like I said, Psalm 33, there is no king save with a multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. You know, we trust in these, sometimes we trust in people or things, but Christ, God, is the only one who's going to come and get us and get us off of the... He's the only one. We can't trust in these earthly things. And so anything we put our faith in is vain unless it's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord in Him. But this is our condition from Adam. Like I said, our father, he fell in the garden. I do want to turn here because we're going to be in this chapter a little bit, but it's Romans 5. There's several places that speak of this fall. And we need to see how far, you know, low we are. Romans 5. Not all, but I guess you can hold your thumb there in Romans because there's a few other scriptures from this book I'm going to turn to. So Romans 5, look at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Let's skip down to verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now speaking of our Lord, right there. One man, Adam fought, Adam fell, and Christ came and brought us up. They go back to the text, and like I said, you can hold your thumb there, and or just hold your place there, and Romans will come back to that a couple more times. Look at verse 5 here, back in our text. And King David sent and fetched him. That's the word fetched. It means he laid hold of him. Came there, he got him, and he brought him back. He had to lay hold on him. Brought him back is an old word that we don't use a whole lot anymore, but you know, it means to come back, to lay hold on, to bring him back to where he needs to be, to where he's going to find mercy. The king's purpose to show mercy to his enemy. This is, he's still, Mephibosheth's still shaking in his boots. He thinks, you know, he has no idea. The only thing he probably can think is that he's going to be dealt with by David. See, like I said, he wasn't looking for David. He was the king's enemy. And so he was probably hiding in Lodabar where there's no pasture, no bread. So he needs to be brought somewhere. If he's a sheep, you need to be brought where there is bread, where there is pasture. So Christ comes down and meets us where we are. But he doesn't leave us there. Like Mephibosheth, we're fetched. We're brought to Christ. We're brought to him. He lays his hands on us. He brings us from a land of no bread or no pasture and brings us into green fields. You know, mercy is either sovereign or it's not mercy. If it's owed or earned or deserved, it's not mercy. We're only here because the Father loved Christ the Son, that covenant before the foundation of the world. But until we're just like Mephibosheth, we're enemies. We're unlovely. God's mercy is for Christ's sake. Back in Romans, where it said to hold your place there, chapter 5 again. Chapter 5, verse 6. When we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So like when we were enemies, we were like Mephibosheth. We were destined for, thought we were destined for to be slaughtered with the other. Like I said, he was part of the enemies. He was in the family of Saul. So he probably was thinking that David was coming here to kill me, but David was coming to show him mercy. But we fear the king, you know, we fear the king. Like I said, he came where we were there. But I love all the scriptures where it says, fear not, because our Lord speaks kindly to us. Look at Romans 3, just a couple pages over. Might have already read this. So. 19th. No, I didn't read this. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. When God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, and declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So he justifies. He has justified us. He sent his Holy Spirit to fetch us, to call us and make us willing to come to him. We're only Psalm 110:3. He says it better than I can. Thou people shall be willing in the day of thy power. You know, the Lord makes us willing. We're not, you know, Mephibosheth, like I said, he was fearing. Galatians 1. Let's look at that. I'll just turn real quick. Verse 15 says, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. He called us. He does the calling. He does the fetching. He does the bringing. Now let's go on down back in our text here. And like I said, let's read verse 5 again. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, son of Amiel from Lodabar. And when Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not. Fear not. Like I said, Mephibosheth was afraid. And David, with two words, hopefully he cured that fear right there. Fear not. He didn't fetch him to destroy him. He fetched him to show him mercy. He said, fear not. I will surely show thee kindness, mercy, for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And keep on reading. Just read on down through here. Verse 8. And he bowed down, and Mephibosheth bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Like I said, we're dead without Christ. We're dead. We're like dead, stinking flesh. And there's nothing that smells worse than that, is dead, rotting flesh. And that's what we are to the Lord. washes us in that blood. It's dead flesh. And we just, you know, Mephibosheth knew this. He knew he was a dead man walking. He felt he was. But he said, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. And that's back to that covenant that was made before the foundation of the world, like the covenant that Jonathan and David made. He was going to show mercy to Saul's house. But God the Father entered into an everlasting covenant of mercy with the Lord Jesus Christ, giving him a people out of Adam's race and making Christ the surety and redeemer of those people. Let's turn to John 6 real quick. John chapter 6. Several things in the book of John that I'm going to look at, so we'll just look at them. I said nothing sheds better light on God's Word than God's Word, so we'll look at His Word here. John 6, look at verse 37. Verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So they, like I said, he was brought, Mephibosheth was brought to him. And we won't come unless we are brought. But the Father and the Son made this covenant. Look at chapter 10. In the same book, it's John chapter 10 and verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness in me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. This covenant between Christ and his Father. And that they made for the foundation of the world, to bring his sheep home, to bring his sheep to him, because he loved Christ for Christ's sake. And look at chapter 17 real quick. Hopefully I won't have too many more. Chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And skip down to verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. These are the He's speaking of his Father here. They are thine. The covenant they made for the foundation of the world. I'll go back to text real quick and read verse. We can read verse 13 here. So Michelle, skip down. I'll just go ahead. I'll read through 9 after verse 9 there. The king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's sons may have food to eat. The Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. And verse 13, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, and he did continually eat at the king's table. So David here, he fulfilled every promise to Mephibosheth. As God will fulfill every promise to his elect. He's not slack concerning his promise. We all shall be made like Christ. We shall enjoy his presence forever. Look at Romans 8 real quick. Verses 33 here. Romans 8, verse 33. So who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So David fulfilled his promise to Mephibosheth. He fulfilled his covenant with Jonathan and kept his promises. But it says there at the end of the back in our text, I said, hopefully I'll just stay right here. He said he was still lame on his feet. So he was continually at the king's table. He was lame on his feet. We are still, when he brings us to know Christ, we're still going to fall backwards. We're still going to sin. We're still going to have trials. And we're still going to drag these. Someone wrote, I listened to a couple of messages by men more able than me to kind of glean a little bit off of them, you know. And we'll still be dragging these old legs around till that day when he takes us home. But we're sitting at the table, you know. We're here in the Word. We need to be at a Lodi Bar. We need to be in a place where there is pasture, where there is bread. We're still going to drag these legs, the results of Adam's fall. But it's still not the end of the story. Even after Mephibosheth sat at the table, he still had some trials to go through. And I'm just going to look at one of these. Two chapters away, 2 Samuel 16. So I lied to you. I told you we were going to be staying there, but just a couple of pages over, chapter 16, 2 Samuel here. Mephibosheth's loyalty was tested. This is after Absalom, that's David's son, and David was on the run from him for a while. And just read chapter 16, start with verse 1, just a few verses here. First 4 verses. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread, and 100 bunches of raisins, and 100 of summer fruits, and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these. And Ziba said, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, and where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertaineth unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. Ziba was lying on Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth wanted to be where his king was. Let's look at that. That's just a couple more chapters over in chapter 19. Chapter 19 is the 2 Samuel, and it's verse 24. Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And Mephibosheth answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto the Lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. For of all my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king, yet didst thou set thy servant among them that it eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take it all. He told David that Ziba could have the land. He didn't want the land. He wanted his king. For as much as my lord the king is coming in peace unto his own house. So he was tried even after he was set at the king's table. He was tried again. And we will be too. Until we're taken out of here and be met with him. So I hope that was a blessing. And thank you.